In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. This day we celebrate a minor, as if there are minor feasts in the life of the Church, the icon in the back next to Saints Peter and Paul, the birth, the conception in the womb of Elizabeth of the great John, the forerunner of our Lord. And we celebrate that and spoke about it last night. But today I want to speak about this beautiful gospel reading from St. Luke. I grew up in a fisherman family. My ancestors came from England in the 1500s, and I had a whaling family, and then we were fishermen. And that's what my grandfather did. He made me promise I would not do the same thing because it was dying out and there was no way to live in it. I can't do many things. I'm not very handy if you know me, but I can mend a net and I feel very comfortable in the water. And so sometimes we read the scriptures and don't feel a connection. For me, whenever I see the Lord or on the fishermen, I understand that culture. Very simple. My grandfather to this day is one of the greatest men I know. Would never tell a lie. So honorable. He was a great example to me. He's still alive. He's 86, 87. He still goes out every morning digging clams. Still gets up at 3:30 every morning. That's why he's probably still old and still alive and so strong. And it's amazing to think that our Lord, the same Lord who made heaven and earth and all the planets and all the universes, became a young child for us. We sit in awe of this. But the way in which he chose to save us is so beautiful and involved so many people that were sinful. They weren't the cream of the crop by worldly standards. You know, we have Saints Peter and Paul. Peter, very simple. And these men that he comes to are exceedingly simple. And that gives us great heart. That it's not to be super smart. If you are, God bless you. That can be more of a cross than a blessing sometimes. But we often feel inadequate. This world makes us feel very inadequate. You're not beautiful enough. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. The opposite is dangerous too. You're not that good, but you're amazing. Everyone gets a trophy. Blah, blah, blah. That's the opposite of the problem. Rather than just being honest, that we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. We have some talent given to us by God, which we should glorify Him for. We should be humbly working on our weaknesses. So the Lord comes to these very simple men. And they've been fishing. Right? They've been out fishing. And I went with my grandfather at night. And there's different kinds of fishing. But much was like this in the bay. We'd do some fishing with these nets. And you go out and you're freezing cold. And you go all night. And sometimes you get gypped. You get nothing. And you get zero pay. And you can't feed your family. Sometimes it's a feast. And even as a young kid, I'd made more money than I know what to do with. And I wasted it quickly. Right? But it was an amazing life of sacrifice and truly having to trust in God. You know, there was no like, if I don't catch fish for 5 days, is there a government subsidy to make up for my lack of getting fish? Right? It didn't work that way. It was, God, send the rain for the crops. If not, we're going to die. We trust in you. Everything was trust in God. My gosh, we can't drive a 10-minute drive without our cell phones. Like, something might happen. You might actually have to talk to a person on the road and ask for help. You might actually have to like pray and depend on God. Our society is the opposite of depending on God. It's so self-sufficient. So we came to these very trusting men for all their simplicity. And they had fished all night. There was two boats. He took one, put out. What's the first thing that happens? He preaches to the people. They thronged about Jesus. We know this. So he put out one of the ships a little bit from the shore. So they wouldn't throng about him. And he could preach at a little bit of distance. And he's preaching the word of God. And after a little bit, something very powerful happens. He says one of my favorite phrases in the whole gospel to Peter. He says, put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. Now on the surface level, what does that mean? He's saying he knows these guys fished all night. If you're a fisherman, you fish all night. Peter knows the water like the back of his hand. My grandfather can tell you, don't even waste your time going right now. It's low tide, blah, 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 blah. You're not going to catch any, whatever it is. He knows. And if someone suggested to him, like, calls them polywogs, people that come along and think they know what they're doing, he's like, oh, it's a polywog. Newbie. Right? I was always the Jonah, for some reason. That's a different story. But he said it was ludicrous to think that somebody who hasn't lived this way would know it. St. Peter the same way. All night fishing. Nothing. And Jesus comes, he preaches, and he says, go out into the deep, and let your nets down for a catch. What's the natural fallen human reaction to that? No way. Get out of here. You know, nice idea, but we can go out all night. Funny. Anyway, thanks for the inspiration, buddy. You know, you're a visitor, right? You're a novice.
But St. Peter didn't do that amazingly.
I mean, he expressed some disbelief, right? And he said, Master, we toiled all night, worked all night, and got nothing.
But he didn't stop there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. He acknowledged his weakness and said, come on, but at your word, I'll let down the nets. The Holy Father said, this is like our life. The Lord pushes out a little bit from the shore and he preaches to the people, to us. For whatever reason you're here, now, whether you're baptized yet or not, the Lord called you here and he's speaking to you in some sense to live this life. But we dip around, we dilly-dally, we don't put our whole hearts into it. Even though he's a jealous God and wants it all, we're all trying to dedicate ourselves to that, but we're struggling. So we stay on the surface sometimes. The Lord preaches. What's the next step? The Lord says the same thing to us that he says to Peter. Go into the deep and put down your nets. Now what does that mean? Practically speaking, again, St. Peter trusted God, and what happened? The net was full. So many fish, they couldn't even pull it in. So what was the moral of the story there for Peter? Trust in God, even when it seems crazy to the world. But what's the deeper moral for us? The Lord's saying, go beyond this kind of surface preaching I initially did. He said, go into the deep and put down the net. And one of the Holy Fathers says, go into the deep of your heart. The kingdom of heaven was within you. That's where the kingdom of heaven is. It's not like heaven's up there and hell's down there and hope I go to heaven up there. That's very naive and not without what Christians have ever believed. The kingdom of heaven's within you. Most of us have no idea what that means, and those are the words of Christ. We all want to go to heaven. And we all want the map how to get there, and the Lord says, it's here, descending into this heart. And what's our reaction when you hear that? When the church says that, when Christ says it, when I say it? You say, come on, I've tried that. I'm trying to be spiritual, Father. I'm here at church. I'm trying. You know, or when the church says, fast. And you try fasting, go, ah, doesn't change, doesn't do anything. I'm just more grumpy. Or the verse says, pray. Well, I tried praying for months, years, Father, nothing's happening. Stop fornicating. Stop giving in to sin. I've stopped it. I've tried it, but nothing's changing my life. Why bother? It's not even worth it. It's stupid. Just like St. Peter could have said, what? Go into the deep? It's stupid. No, it's not going to work. But nevertheless, at your word, because of who you are and how you inspire my life, I'll do it. I'll take a risk. That is exactly what the spiritual life is and what you have to tell yourself. When the world says, eat, 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 be a glutton, love comfort. We love comfort. One of the Holy Fathers says, people who love comfort cannot enter the kingdom of God. Don't get me wrong, you can enjoy putting your feet up, a nice glass of wine, a nice meal, but it can't be all the time in the center of your life. That accuses us. You can't go into the deep. Maybe you've tried, but you can't give up. Many of us give up before we even started. Push out into the deep. So look at the pattern. The Lord preaches to us. We're here. He invites you to go into the deep of your heart, to become serious about your spiritual life, to not just pray like a robot, to really make time for prayer every day. People say to me, oh, I don't believe in God, prayer's not working. I don't believe you. Because I've never known, I'll tell you this, a single person in all my years of being a priest and deacon Orthodox Christian over 20 years, I have never known a single person who has not dedicated themselves to prayer for 30 days even. Without exception, I'm going to do my morning and evening prayers. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to make confession. I'm going to read the Holy Scriptures. I'm going to rearrange my life around the services. I'm going to give it my all. And with their heart, who has not been utterly changed in even one short month. Why aren't we changed? Because we don't do it. Someone said to me a confession. They said to me, Father, why don't we change? Because you don't want to. The Lord doesn't take away your freedom. There's no secret spell or prayer to make you a different person overnight, to change your desires. What do you want? Do you want paradise? Do you want life? Do you want joy? Then work for it. It's worth everything. We often think that, oh, if God will do it, I can do it. No, God will only do it if you want to do it. What I really want to say is it's a matter of will. St. Peter could have said, no way. You know what? I'm tired. It seems crazy, but okay. I'll do that work. I'm exhausted. I will cast into the deep. And what happened? Incredible bounty, right? Bountiful harvest. Same thing for us. If you put your life into Christ, if you do it externally, it will not change you. And you'll be frustrated and you'll be just like Peter. Why bother?
you go into the deep.
I have people that come to confession, surface. Thank God they're there, but my heart breaks because they confess things like, they often confess things that show their pride. They'll say something like, oh, I'm sorry that I can't come to service more, but I work. What is that person really confessing? They're confessing that they're actually a lot better than people see, but unfortunately they have to work and they can't be amazing like everyone else could know that. You see how pride is so insidious? People often don't talk about how, I'm proud. I judge people all the time. I don't know how to pray. I'm judging people left and right. I'm full of lust. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I think I know better. I'm really a sinful person. This is a confession that invites the mercy of God because you're sick. That's why God chose people like St. Peter. Simple people make simple confessions. Humble, contrite, but we think we're so smart. We dance around it in our ego. We do everything to protect it. You can't go deep, brothers and sisters, if you don't crush your ego. You can't go deep in the spiritual life and find the kingdom of God if you're living on the surface. If you think you're fantastic, you've lost. You're fantastic because Christ made you in His image and you're precious to Him. But you're not the bee's knees, you're a sinner, just like everybody else. We're all sinners and yet we're so precious to God. I see so many people who are trying and striving, but often externally. There's no spiritual life without a broken heart. Without coming to God and coming to your spiritual father and saying, I am messed up. I see people who are like straining, but in the wrong way. It's not about like robot. I did 500 Jesus prayers. Like, with a humble heart? With a humble heart? Great. If not, waste of time. So here's the deal. If you want to go into the deep, the Lord and His church teaches us what it means to put out into the deep and put down your net for a catch. Live this life of the church. Do your prayers, but don't half it. People say, oh, I can't pray, Father. You're not trying. How many times I'll say to someone, I can't really pray, Father. Praying's hard. I'm not made to be a person of prayer. How many times did you try this week? Like once or twice? Well, no, come on, Sherlock. That's not a mystery. You know, it's like trying to lose weight. How many times do you work out? Well, once. How many times do you diet? Not at all. I can't figure out why I'm still fat. Newsflash, right? Basic science. Calories in, calories out. We all want to find a way out of that, but that's reality. It's all the more true in the spiritual life. Only it's more sad because the grace of God is raining on us. With one step forward, Christ takes 1,000, 1,000,000. It's, you know, much more than a matching plan, so to speak. When you're losing weight in the world, it's you tough it out, you slough it out, and it changes. You have all the grace of God behind these spiritual changes. So I beg you, the spiritual life is in the heart, and so many people don't know about it. And they're content even, complacent, because they think, I can love comfort, and love all this, and love clothes, and love how I look, and love being wanting to be attractive, and love trying to measure, be totally worldly. And yet, I can also inherit the kingdom of God. It's not possible. If that's what you think, you haven't gone into the deep. What does it mean to go into the deep? Let me tell you what it looks like, an extreme example. Elder Cleopa of Sihastria Monastery, Romanians will know this name, a great elder, died not too long ago. When he was in the, you know this story, I probably told it 1,000,000 times, forgive me, I think it's still edifying. When they were, the communists there, they were after all the priests. And so he went into the wilderness for years and lived as a hermit. Unbelievable life. And then he came back after many years, and eventually the KGB kind of equivalent, they took him and arrested him. And they put him into this torture device. It was about this tall, and big enough for a person, and you put down in there with like no clothes on, pretty much, and you're laid down like this flat, and above on the ceiling of this short thing are like 1,000,000 watt light bulbs, and it's light torture. And they put you in that, and most people after a few hours a day, they're nuts, blah, 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 and they're gone for life. They're gone. So they put Elder Clay up in there for days. And the people who knew him wept because what a great elder. Now he's going to be lost. They wanted to reprogram your mind. That's why if you're young and think communism is beautiful, you could not be more wrong. We know where it heads, to prison camps and to gulag and to demonic things. And they took Elder Clay up out of there and he was fine. They couldn't believe it. They were shocked. And someone asked him, How'd you do that? He goes, it was fine. I'm tired, kind of uncomfortable. What'd you do? I went into my heart. And I remained there until it was over. What? We barely know the heart is a place. It's more than a physical organ pumping your blood. It's the center of human beings. This is not your center, the Holy Fathers say. This is your center. These used to be connected. And with repentance, they can become connected again. How do we find that heart? And by heart, I don't mean like your whims or your emotions or your romanticism. No, it's much deeper than that. That's where the kingdom of God is. Prayer of the heart. We have to drill there, brothers and sisters. It's not automatic. We start praying, first the mind becomes prayer of the mind. And then with repentance, with changing your life, stop going to bad places, stop watching stupid things, purify yourself of those sins that you know are killing you. Be honest and be humble. Don't be afraid to be humble in confession. Be honest. Guess what happens? The road clears a little more. The path, prayer, repentance, drills, 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 boom. We hit the treasure, jackpot, hidden treasure of our hearts. That's where the kingdom of God is. And you know what? One great Metropolitan Nerotios told me this. He said, there's a church in every human heart, Father Justin. And in it, there's a candle and an altar like this. There's a candle lit and there's a priest. They want to have liturgy there, but they're waiting for the priest to come. And I said, who's the priest? And he said, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to enter the heart of a person in his depth and serve liturgy there. Perpetually. Why can't he get there? Because it's mucky and there's no path. How do you get it unmucked and clear it? Repentance and prayer. He said in English, drill, drill, you drill. And you find that secret place of the heart. And just like how beautiful it is, you know, come to the Tuesday morning liturgy, it's quiet, there's a candle, and the priest enters and begins that liturgy. He said, human beings don't know their potential. When the Holy Spirit enters your heart, it's automatic when you're baptized and chrismated. Through this repentant life, a whole world opens up that you have no idea about. But it's so possible. Not even in the monasteries, here, in this life, for families and all of us, it's possible. But you have to know it's there. Not just possible, it's the destination. No one knows about this other than the Orthodox Church. No one. No one. Not just being a do-gooder. And morality is the outside. Morality is to just peel it back and get to paradise here. And it's very possible. And it's beyond. He said, once you get there, the delights are beyond words. And it's not just reserved for hermits on Mount Athos. Christ wants all of us to go there. I want to go there. And I'm saddened that I spend too much time wasting time with outside stuff and don't go inside. Like, don't get me wrong. When you turn the other cheek, digging. When you humbly do the dishes for your wife, digging. When you don't do the dishes for your wife, no progress. Right? When you attack, you're adding dirt, 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 and you're clogging the path. When you come to confession, honestly, you're clearing rubble. When you start fasting and stop being so gluttonous, clearing rubble. When you eat and drink less, clearing rubble. When you ask forgiveness of your kids and your family, clearing rubble. When you start praying regularly, oh. And now the Holy Spirit can descend. My prayer for myself is that just like this gospel today, the Lord's asking each of us, He's preaching to us. He's saying, go into the deep, John, Matt, Sally, Michael, whatever. Go into the deep of your heart. It's crazy. The world, it's too hard. It's too hard. We have jobs. We're busy, busy, busy. Be like Peter. That's true. We are busy. But at your word, because your life, I don't care what the crazy world thinks. I am going to do it. And what's the result? An incredible, a miraculous catch of fish. And how does St. Peter respond to that catch of fish? Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. His response wasn't like, yeah, I prayed for a while. Wow, miracle. I'm a miracle worker. His response was us. We start the Christian life. We're stuttering, stopping. We take a risk to push ourselves beyond our comfort. It's worth it, God. Paradise seems so beautiful. I'll try it. And you do it, and He fills you with His treasure. And your response is, you're humbled. That's a beautiful word. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. And guess what? The Lord's not too concerned with it, is He? Because He repented. We repent. There's no sin God can't forgive. The Lord wasn't like, yes, you are sinful. He said, you've repented now. Now, far from slamming you, I'm going to make you fisher of men. Look at this. The surface guy. We know St. Peter. He's kind of crazy. He's tempestuous. He's all over the place. Christ invites him to go into his heart. The Christian life is crazy to this world, brothers and sisters. People can mock us all they want. Why believe in God? Laugh all you want.
We are going to follow Christ right to the Holy Spirit, right to the heart, right to paradise. And you know what? All the smart ones, they're going to want to follow too, so to speak. And it's going to bring us humility. And you know what? You're going to become fishers of men. That's the last thing I'm going to say. Fishers of men. What do you mean you say, I'm not going to become a fisher of men. I'm not a priest. What does that mean? You and I. Even if I was a priest, you are called to be a catcher of men. What do I mean? Think of the world around us. Look at, just step outside the church. Look at the, all around this downtown, the drugs, the alcohol, the homelessness, the sadness. Oh, but it's not just them. Look at the billboards. Look at TV. Think of all, everyone's darting all around. Everyone's a mess in some like great dark sea that's around us. No one can find peace and joy, but they can find it in one place, Christ. Not just by the priest wearing his black robe in the street. I'm one person. You have to lower your nets. You have to go out and live this life. What does that look like? First of all, the life you lead. Simply, if you lead a Christian life, not just more moral, but a life of the heart, and you're truly connected with Christ and you're repenting, it's contagious. People will be drawn to people who are humble and know themselves. You know, Mormons are nice. And that draws me to, I have to be honest, I'm drawn to them because of how nice and hardworking they are. That's surface. What's the next step of that? Humility. Holiness and humility. That draws a person really close. And then what do? Come to liturgy with me. Come to liturgy with me. Come and see. Mormons steal that line. Come and see something worth seeing. Come and maybe open your heart and plumb the depths of your heart. Do you love this world and being offended by, or maybe offending someone more than you love saving your neighbor's or your friend's soul? Then we're not being catchers of men. Invite them. It's not about being Russian or Greek or Romanian. We know in our community that is so far from the truth. So I beg of you, don't be apprehensive about sharing the greatest news ever, the beauty of Christ with others. You don't have to be a great theologian, a big talker. If you're humble and loving and you are dedicated to this Jesus Christ, the God-man, people want to be around you and they'll want that pearl of great price that you have. We're all called to be fishers of men, school, work, priests, all of us. But we can't point the way to anything if we don't know where we're going. My prayer for myself and for all of us, this heart, the kingdom of heaven is within us, the destination, and living the life in this church. All the things we do, praying, fasting, don't half it, do it. Because if you do, the kingdom of heaven within you will open up and you will realize a world that is more precious and more beautiful than anything you can ever imagine. And death, oh, death will mean nothing to you. Yo, my mom found this place at the end of her life. And so she was excited to die because she wanted to be in that place all the time. This place is possible for us in this broken world, but they won't find it without us. May we repent. May we humble ourselves. May we go into the deep of our hearts. And may we lead others there that can find the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.